I offer this podcast freely. Your support really makes a difference. To make a donation, visit reneemckenna.com. Welcome to Spiritual Psychology. My name's Renee LaValle McKenna, and I bring my 30-plus years as a recovering addict and ex-crazy person turned therapist and shamanic healer to bring you snackable teachings on spirituality, psychology, and all things personal growth. And today I want to talk about delayed grief, or what's sometimes known as complex grief, although I think grief is always complex. And grief is actually a very healthy, important process. Loss, death, and big change are part of our cyclical human experience here. And I say cyclical because the great spiritual teachings would tell us it's an infinite cycle. But even within a human life, at least one deeply lived, there are many cycles of birth and death, of endings and new beginnings. And this is not a design flaw. The birth-death cycle is part of our human experience. It can be seen throughout the natural world, and allowing ourselves to be changed by the deeper wisdom of this flowing cyclical system is imperative for our mental, emotional, spiritual, and even physical health. In fact, the healing process of grief is a process that leads to deep acceptance and the change, transformation, and adaptation that we are called into in the ever-changing configurations of our life. In fact, the difference between grief and loss is that transformational, even digestive process that changes us, matures us, and brings us into peace and acceptance. With loss, we may come to acceptance quickly. With grief, there may be resistance to accepting the loss, denial, anger, guilt and blame, fear. And these can all be part of the digestive juices, the bile and enzymes that are trying to make sense of loss. And death is one of our greatest teachers in life. And the more deeply we surrender and submit ourselves to it and allow our own natural grief process, the more smoothly and completely we can heal. And grief is an emotional, mental, and spiritual process. The death of a loved one or a great loss always calls into our reality, our own imminent mortality, and the impermanence of all things. And that can really fuck up your day if you think you're in control of everything. So making peace with death is often very tied to our religious or spiritual beliefs, our attachment to our ego self, and our control issues of how we would run the world if we were in charge. And making friends with the wisdom of the angel of death often opens us to deeper spiritual experience, the mysteries of love, of the soul, and of this cosmic, unfolding, amazing reality that we're a part of. Grief can be a wisening process, allowing us to peek through the doorway of death into the infinite. And the grief process calls us to great vulnerability and also opens the doorway to all of our other unresolved emotional issues that we might have kept neatly packed away until a death or loss kicked that door open, which is actually an opportunity to come to greater wholeness, more authenticity, and can even increase our capacity to love and engage with life. Unprocessed grief, like most unresolved emotional issues, often keeps us closed, fearful, bitter, angry, numb, or emotionally closed. But there is a natural, organic process that's unique for each of us. We each process things in our own way, in our own time, and particularly for the big losses in our life, we may process them again and again and again over the course of our existence. Like a spiral staircase, as we age and hopefully grow and evolve, as we move up the staircase, how we perceive our surroundings changes. My parents both died 18 years ago, and I will never have other parents. And my relationship with them, with their deaths, and how I experience my experience continues to shift and change as I shift and change. And I have buried many people in my life and generally have a very accepting relationship with loss. And particularly for the people who have died that I loved or felt very close to, I still feel very connected with them today. My client Sarah used to call them her dead, that she talks to her dead. I talk to my dead. I can feel them. Sometimes they come to me in dreams. I journal to them. And for me, the love connection was not severed as they left their body. And I don't know what happens after I leave my body, but there seems to be some evidence that I may connect with them more directly again in the next realm. I've worked with many clients working with their dead. We have much more access to the spirit world than most of the lore in our culture would suggest. Honestly, I work with the dead all the time in my practice. I teach my mentees a whole unit on psychopomp, which is the escorting of souls who have not clearly passed, very sacred practice, and working with the dead in general because it's such a present part of our spiritual reality here as humans. It may not make sense intellectually. It is non-rational, very intuitive, and a very profound practice to open again to these incredible mysteries of the ever-flowing life force. When my mother died, honestly, I was quite relieved. She had been dying for about 10 years, and that relationship was extremely difficult. She was a very frightened and emotionally unavailable person, and we were never close. And luckily, by the end of her life, I was able to be there for her in a way that I felt decent about. I called her every week and listened to her talk about her ailments and problems. It had mostly been a fairly one-way relationship because she just really didn't have a lot to give. And I've done a lot of work around that relationship, looking at it from a soul level. And I have come to believe that most intimate relationships in our life are soul-level agreements, maybe that we make before we come here. And the gift that Fran gave me was to teach me about healthy service to others. I would not be a therapist if it was not for her. And as I grow and age, launch my own children, and freakishly repeat many of the circumstances that she had in her life, I continue to grow in appreciation, in forgiveness, and understanding of that relationship and that person in my life. And if you're interested in learning more about soul connections, you might check out podcast number 48, Karma and Family of Origin. Now, the death of my father was a completely different circumstance. I had been processing the relationship with my mother for years, and so there was really nothing to grieve with her. Because it wasn't a very deep or connected relationship in my life, there really wasn't a lot of loss, except the loss of the difficulty and challenges with her, which was a relief. Even though it's culturally questionable to say that, I am dedicated to my own emotional honesty. She was a pain in my ass. Why would I be sad she's gone? But my father, on the other hand, was a deeply connected relationship. And I had my own experience of delayed grief, which honestly has really just opened itself up in the last few years. My parents died 8 months apart from each other, even though they weren't married anymore. And I did not attend his funeral. And that was a very difficult and conscious choice. I had a funeral for my mother, and only 5 people came, and 3 of them were with me. Now, that's kind of sad, but years before my father's sudden death, he had an aneurysm and dropped dead. My father had gotten remarried, and his new wife had her own complex emotional issues, and ultimately my father stopped talking to me and completely withdrew from my life. And I was around 30 when that started. I wasn't a little kid, thank God. And that was the real loss for me, to lose him from my life while he was still living. It was shocking, unbelievable, and it honestly remained frozen and unprocessed for decades. In fact, the deeper processing was catalyzed only when I realized that I wanted to open my heart in a new relationship, and there were a lot of blocks to doing so. So it was opening to new intimacy in my life that brought up the grief of the loss of the intimacy with my father. Now, he also died when I had very young children. I was newly married. We were remodeling the house. There was a lot going on. And I was very busy with my own present and healthy engaged life, 3,000 miles away from where Arthur was buried. And much of my emotional healing around my father has been forgiveness, compassion, and understanding about his own deficits and dysfunction. And again, ultimately coming to see from a meta perspective, this kind of mysterious way that there were a lot of things that happened because of him being removed from my life, even before his death, that actually were helpful in my own journey. And the very excellent news also is that the universe has provided for me a family of choice. And as my own parents dissolved, they did kind of dissolve, I was welcomed into this new family and amazingly, unexpectedly got this brilliant set of parents who have been engaged and present in our lives and continue to be sources of inspiration and love for me and my kids. Much better grandparents. And I've also grown in my spiritual connection with the Great Mother and the Divine Masculine, what I might call my spiritual family, my spiritual parents. They probably look like a mix of Buddha and Gandalf, Kali and Gaia. And I think where delayed grief is most common is with children who experience death or loss. I was working with a client recently who lost both of his parents before he was 5, and he's in his early 30s now and really turning his energy toward his own personal growth and emotional healing. And he's really just consciously and emotionally starting to process those losses now as an adult. And that's a totally valid, understandable, and I think healthy process. He's ready now. He's created a lot of support and stability in his life. He's intentionally opening in ways that he was closed or just underdeveloped. And now it's time to expand and heal and let that energy move and flow and perhaps change and mature and wisen him. I'm pretty close to 2 boys who lost their mother when they were 7 and 9 years old, quite suddenly. And much of the grief of the surrounding family and grown-ups was about the tremendous loss that these boys were experiencing. And yet the boys expressed no grief. Children often don't have the capacity to process loss and death the way that adults do. They're in survival mode. This is what's real for them. This is just what's happening. And we get a whole lifetime to process our life experience. And when he was about 15, one of the boys pulled me aside and he said, "You know, I've been kind of thinking about killing myself. And I'm not really interested in anything anymore. And I'm sad all the time. I think I'm depressed." And I said, "Yeah, sounds like that." Now, the age of 15 sucks for almost everyone. In fact, often if I meet a 15-year-old at their birthday, I'll say, "I'm really sorry. It'll be over in a year." So getting depressed at 15 is not unusual. But as we talked more, it occurred to me that he might be experiencing delayed grief. And so I said that to him. "Do you think this might be grief around the loss of your mom?" It was a completely novel idea. And I told him, grief is this digestive process and it often has its own timing. Our psyche has a wisdom of its own and it might be time for this to come up. And grief can look a lot like depression, particularly if we aren't engaging in the more vulnerable feelings directly. Depression is about suppression or pressing down often of our deeper truth, of our emotional or spiritual self. And when we can turn toward ourselves, make room for our feelings, be curious and compassionate, begin to talk about our secret thoughts and inner experiences, we bring some light and air into those mucky places and it can start to turn into compost. And so I asked the boy if it was okay if I shared our conversation with his dad, and he said yes. And so I suggested to the father, "You might want to have more conversations about their mother and about their mother's death." Because one of the things the boy asked me was, "Did you know her? Do you know things about her?" "I do think about her." And unfortunately, I didn't have a lot of information to share because I wasn't close to her. But it opened up this larger family conversation. The depression began to lift and the grief process began to flow. And I'll tell you, that boy is 18 and he's killing it right now. And his younger brother has his own process. He's talked about it a little, but we each have our own soul's timing. And when we're open and willing to align ourselves with soul level wisdom, then we can trust that process. But if we're medicating it with drugs and alcohol, with distraction, if we're caught in patterns of dysfunction that keep us emotionally closed, compartmentalized or compressed, then that natural healing digestive process may be interrupted or it may be frozen. I have a client who came to me in her mid-50s. Her mom had died 20 years before, and every time she thought about her, she broke down crying. And I would call that frozen grief. Margie was frozen in the grief process. She never moved through it. When leaves fall from the trees, the water and wind, sun and weather, the little insects turn them into compost. Rich soil, that's what moving through the grief process can do. Turn us into rich and fertile soil when we participate with it fully. But she got frozen in the sad part, stuck in a place of loss, holding on. She's also not surprisingly a hoarder in her own way, has a lot of trouble letting things go, which means there's not room for new things to come into her life. And she was really willing to do the work. So we did a series of sessions, this really transformational tool based on a practice called lifespan integration. And she was able to shift, come to a different place in her relationship with her mother. She's not crying anymore, still struggling with letting go of her physical stuff in her house. But she was willing to turn and face and get some movement into this frozen grief process. And so, although death and loss are certainly sad and difficult, they are a part of a human life, an unavoidable and perhaps even essential part of our emotional, relational, and soul-level experience here. And so, however we process our grief, it is important to process it, to allow ourselves to be changed by it, perhaps even strengthened, softened, wisened, and made more resilient by the ultimately healing process of grief. Thank you so much for listening. If you like this podcast, perhaps share it with a friend, subscribe, or leave a good review on iTunes. If you'd like to do some deeper processing of your own inner work, shoot me an email, info@ReneeMcKenna.com. Set up a free discovery call. Check out my free live sessions on Insight Timer each month. There's a link in the show notes. And thanks as always to my supporters on Patreon and through this podcast. Blessings on your path until we meet again. This is Renee LaValle McKenna for Spiritual Psychology.